fallout from Fallujah. The chilling scenes coming out of Fallujah are remarkable. They show us unmistakably the many and varied faces, not just of Fallujans, but of the shadowy Iraqi resistance. And yet, they do far more. They show us that the news reports we've read, seen, and heard prior to this incident, which have labeled the resistance the work of foreigners or Saddam loyalists or even the ubiquitous latest term of art, terrorists, couldn't have been more wrong or more misleading. The faces staring back at the shutters of Fallujah were young and old, mostly male, but some female. It was the unwelcome face of Iraqi nationalists who leave us with few illusions about how American occupiers are really perceived. The slayings and mutilations of four American security experts last week are reflections of what lies buried in the heart of Iraqis and a reflection of the possible fates of the handpicked American puppets or the handpicked Iraqi puppets who sit as a U.S.-backed government in Iraq. It does not bode well. Undoubtedly, the U.S. military will launch a dreadful and equally chilling response, one designed to send a message of American martial superiority. It will indeed send a message, but hardly the one that rebounds to the benefit of American security, either in Iraq or anywhere else in the region. For the U.S. Marines will seek to induce terror into the Fallujah population, a method of collective punishment that has its own dark analogs in the annals of history. This brand of brutal state terrorism was memorialized by the behavior of the Nazi Reich against the so-called Untermenschen, the occupied and subject peoples of Poland, Czechoslovakia, the puppet regime of Vichy France, and beyond. When one Nazi official was harmed, hundreds paid the price. Some may suggest that this analogy is somewhat far-fetched, but is it? The Hitler we know of now wasn't treated like that when his government was in power. His face graced the cover of Time magazine as Man of the Year. Major U.S. corporations were busy trading with Nazi Germany, who found among their best American friends the influential Dulles brothers, John Foster and Allen, who served in various administrations as heads of government departments like State and the CIA. They were partners of Sullivan and Cromwell, which handled the legal affairs of American IG, the U.S. subsidiary of IG Farben, the company that supplied the deadly chemicals used in the Nazi death camps. Indeed, many prominent U.S. firms traded with the Nazis during World War II, like Chase Bank, Ford, ITT, Standard Oil, General Motors, and others. The point? Before the war, Hitler was seen as a miracle worker, the strongman of Germany, a savior, even, of a shattered and prostrate Germany. History has given us a deeper view. Similarly, the day will come when people will look back at the U.S. occupation of Iraq with a jaundiced eye. It will not be pretty. In a matter of months, it is generally agreed the world over that the occupation itself was based on a lie. What but bitter fruit can grow from such roots? The answer to Fallujah is the answer to the Iraqi adventure as a whole, full and unconditional withdrawal from Iraq, period. Democracies cannot be transplanted like tulips. Indeed, the war itself was a betrayal of democracy, not a fulfillment of it. It took place over the loud and vigorous objections of millions, perhaps billions, of the people all around the world. There is no so-called bipartisan middle ground. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.